This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's Jodl Bank Centre for Astrophysics. For more information, see jodcast.net.
In the news this month, results from LCROSS, a record-breaking galaxy, and high-mass pulsars. Small lumps of rock hit the moon quite regularly, but in 2009, two artificial projectiles impacted on the lunar surface in an experiment designed to search for water in the permanent shadows of a crater near the lunar south pole. Hints of subsurface water on the moon had already been found in 1999 when NASA's Lunar Prospector spacecraft detected signatures of concentrated hydrogen, the H in H2O, near the lunar poles. The Lunar Crater Observation and Sensing Satellite, or LCROSS, was a low-cost mission launched together with the Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter in June 2009. The mission consisted of the Centaur upper stage of the Atlas V launch vehicle and a shepherding spacecraft equipped with various cameras and sensors. Moving at a speed of 1.5 miles per second, the Centaur stage impacted the lunar surface on October 9, 2009, sending up a plume of material from the permanently shadowed floor of the crater Cabeus. The LCROSS spacecraft observed the impact before flying through the plume to impact the same surface some 4 minutes later. In the October 22nd issue of Science magazine, several teams working on data from the impact published their findings. Cabeus Crater was chosen for the experiment as it contains an area which is permanently in shadow due to its location close to the lunar south pole. The low temperatures, combined with the movement of soil, or regolith, by micrometeorite impacts, known as impact gardening, which buries accumulated material, making such craters ideal places to search for volatiles, chemicals which are solid only at very low temperatures. Previous results from a neutron spectrometer aboard the Lunar Prospector spacecraft suggested that ice could make up between 0.5% and 1% of the soil near the lunar poles, and further results from a neutron detector on the Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter showed a strong hydrogen signal, originally thought to be from water ice. But observations of the LCROSS plume, made with another instrument called LAMP, an ultraviolet spectrograph on board the Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter, showed that as much of the hydrogen signal comes from molecular hydrogen as it does from water. Water is thought to have accumulated from cometary impacts, distributing water across the lunar surface in the ejecta, but it is far from certain where the molecular hydrogen originated. The results from the 9 instruments on board the LCROSS shepherding spacecraft, reported in Science on October 22nd, show signatures of numerous different chemicals, including water vapour, water ice, and hydroxyl radicals, a common result of the breaking up of water molecules. Using the spectra obtained, the LCROSS team calculated that the maximum amount of water vapour and ice visible in the field of view of the instruments was 155 kilograms. By estimating the amount of material that was excavated by the Centaur impact and became observable by reaching sunlight, they calculated that the concentration of water in the lunar regolith at the impact site was 5.6%. They also found that the observed abundances of other volatile compounds, such as ammonia, sulfur dioxide, and carbon monoxide, were far higher than the abundances found in comets, suggesting that molecular formation may be going on in these shadowed regions on the surfaces of cold dust grains. The most distant object in the known universe is a highly luminous gamma-ray burst, a single explosion discovered near maximum light at a redshift of 8.2, a time when the universe was only 630 million years old, less than 5% of its current age. The most distant known galaxy lies at a redshift of 6.96. The light we see now left the galaxy just 750 million years after the Big Bang. However, both these records have now been broken by a galaxy discovered by the Hubble Space Telescope, which has a redshift of 8.56 and an estimated distance of 87 gigaparsecs, making it the most distant object currently known. First seen in the Hubble Ultra Deep Field, the deepest single image ever taken in near-infrared light, the galaxy, known as UDFY-381-35539, was initially classified as a candidate to high redshift object, based on its colours. Now, a team led by Matthew Lennart at the Observatoire de Paris in France has used spectroscopic observations to confirm that the object is the most distant galaxy so far detected. Since the universe is expanding, the further away an object is, the faster it appears to be moving away from us. This results in a shift in wavelength of the light emitted from an object, known as redshift, with the size of the shift relating to the distance between us and the object. This is similar to the shift in pitch you hear when a police car travels past at high speed. This effect allows distances to be calculated by measuring the shift in spectral lines from known chemicals. Lennart's team used a sensitive spectrograph on the Very Large Telescope, located in Chile, to observe the spectrum of this galaxy, and found an emission line which is likely to be caused by hydrogen, shifted to redder wavelengths by the relative motion between the galaxy and us. This is an exciting discovery because it is the first galaxy discovered in the so-called epoch of reionization, the period in the history of the universe where the neutral material between the newly formed galaxies was being ionized, the light from young, hot stars stripped electrons from hydrogen atoms. The authors used the measured light from the galaxy to calculate the size of the region of the surrounding gas which the galaxy should have been able to ionize on its own, and found that, in order to explain the size of the ionized bubble which is consistent with the observations, there must be other sources of radiation. One suggestion is that dwarf galaxies clustering around larger, more easily observed galaxies may be responsible for this additional radiation, but there are other explanations. While observations such as these are difficult with current ground-based telescopes due to the faint nature of these distant sources, the planned next generation of larger and more sensitive ground and space-based instruments should make observations of such sources much easier. Left over from the supernova explosions of massive stars, neutron stars are incredibly dense and compact objects, but very little is known about their internal structure. Pulsars, spinning neutron stars with powerful jets of radio emission, which act something like cosmic lighthouses, are useful probes of extreme physics, such as general relativity, and forms of matter so dense that investigating them in laboratories on the Earth is extremely difficult. Various models of the internal structure of a neutron star have been proposed, including various exotic forms of matter, but determining which is closest to reality requires knowledge of the distribution of masses and radii, measurements which require careful observations and depend to some extent on the exact models and assumptions used. Reported in Nature on the 28th of October, a team of astronomers using the Green Bank Radio Telescope in the US have discovered a pulsar with a mass twice that of the Sun. These new results have implications not only for our understanding of neutron stars and their formation, but also for our understanding of nuclear physics and matter at very high densities, and suggest that many of the theoretical models of neutron star structure can now be ruled out. Led by Paul Demarest of the National Radio Astronomy Observatory in the US, the astronomers observed the binary millisecond pulsar J1614-2230, a pulsar orbiting a white dwarf in a binary system which lies almost edge-on to our line of sight. This geometry was vital, allowing the astronomers to make use of an effect known as the Shapiro delay, an effect of general relativity. This is the delay of a signal caused as it moves through the gravitational field of the white dwarf companion, a delay which is a maximum when the pulsar lies on the far side of its orbit relative to the Earth. This effect allowed the mass of both the neutron star and its white dwarf companion to be measured precisely. The neutron star was expected to have a mass of about 1.5 times that of the Sun, but the team calculated a mass of 1.97 solar masses for the neutron star, the highest mass to be accurately measured for such an object. Combining this mass measurement with the predictions based on various different physical models allows several scenarios to be ruled out, including several exotic states of matter containing subatomic particles such as hyperons or kaons. The discovery also has implications for other astronomical events. One class of gamma-ray burst is thought to be the result of colliding neutron stars. The fact that neutron stars have now been shown to be this massive makes this a viable mechanism for these events. And finally, October saw the first public data release from the Herschel Atlas project, the largest project awarded OpenTime on the infrared satellite. Covering an area of 16 square degrees on the sky, more than 60 times the area of the full moon, the field contains more than 6,000 galaxies, imaged in 5 infrared bands or colours, between 100 and 500 microns. The data were obtained as part of Herschel's science demonstration phase in late 2009, and the Atlas team have been working hard to process the raw images and produce catalogues of the objects detected. With so many galaxies in the field, the new data should provide much useful information to astronomers studying the evolution of galaxies over the history of the universe.